This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
April the 4th, 2022. The show is, well, you know it, DPHRO and Rothenberg with you on 98.7 ESPN. So much to get into from over the weekend. I say good morning. I'm still not in right mind. I say good morning to my co-host, who I spoke to over the weekend, the great Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. I think you have to answer the question. I mean, everyone that's listening woke up at 5 a.m. this morning to know how it went. In the Rothenberg household.
It went badly.
Well, hold on. Time out. Because I called to check in just to see how I wanted the mood. I wanted you to set the mood for me. It could have been worse.
It could have been way worse. There could have been bloodshed. I mean, yes, it could have absolutely been worse. It was not at that level. Ben wasn't even involved. Ben was at a friend's house because he says on Saturday at like, I don't know, 4:30, he goes, can I go to the local park where I want to play basketball with my friends, and we're going to go back to one of their houses, and they're going to have pizza, and we're going to at least watch the first game. I was like, can you go? Yeah, go! Go! So then he texts, and I figure because he's so oblivious about everything that he would text at like 8:45, be like, can you come pick me up? I was going to be like, sure, either you get him or he can move in there. Like I'm not leaving the house to go get him. So he texted like 8:30. Is it okay if I stay for the second game? Stay for the second game. Move in with them. Yes. So he's out of the house, and then I have me and a little crazed Mussolini in the house. I'm a baby. You're a baby. Watching the game. The kid is more emotional than anything you've ever seen in your life. Like one play happens that goes against him, and. I mean, you would have thought the officials were on the take for Duke the way he's acting. I mean, freaking, I'm like, do you realize Theo John had 4 fouls in the first half and Mark Williams is picking up a foul every time he breathes on someone? Stop it. This official stinks. He's obviously has a, I mean, he goes places you can't even imagine. So he's angering me. And then I tell him, I said about halfway through the second half, I said, you know, I'm not saying it's over. But I think Carolina's going to win this game. Like they look like a little bit of the better team. They're hitting their shot. Now, how could you say that? Like you can't say stuff like that and put it out there. So, I mean, he's going crazy, right? I'm into the game. He's into the game. Back and forth. You know, Duke misses those 2 foul shots. He's going bananas. Then Carolina comes down. Caleb Love hits the 3, goes up 4. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, this game's going to end. They're going to lose. Duke's going to lose. That's it for Coach K. They lose to Carolina. I can't even believe this is happening. Hate Carolina. I like Duke a lot. Can't even. And then he starts. You're not even a Duke fan. You're a Georgetown fan. You can't be that upset. I'm like, listen, I shouldn't have let you even like Carolina. I should have stopped that before it even happened. You're a little animal. So then Duke loses. Carolina wins. He's dancing around. I said, listen, get upstairs, brush your teeth, go to bed. And he looks at me. He's like, okay. Upstairs, rest of the night, didn't see him. It was late anyway for him. All right, very late for him. Sherry goes up, tucks him in. Don, I'm incensed. I'm very angry, very upset. And then wake up Sunday morning, and he goes tiptoeing by my room. He's glaring in at me. And we just have that exchange, that like eye-to-eye exchange, but there's no conversation. We barely talked yesterday. And then he's dancing around the house saying, oh, I can't wait for the championship game. I can't wait for the championship game. 9:30 tonight. So excited. I put my foot down, not letting him watch the championship game. Bedtime, 10 o'clock tonight. I told him you can watch the first few minutes of the game. 10 o'clock, lights out. He turns to mom. Mom, that's not fair. I can watch, right? I'm not getting involved. Dad says no, you can't watch it. So now the rest of the day yesterday, he's... well, Dad, this is not fair. And how could you do this? And bartering and bargaining. And I need to be able to watch. And you don't understand how much I love them. And what kind of dad are you? He started with the, you're a bad dad. And how could you do this? And this is unfair. And by the end of the day, he's putting his head on my shoulder. Oh, you're such a great dad. Oh, everyone should be so lucky to have a dad like you. I said, Alex, you're not watching the game. Oh, that's not fair. I should move in with another family. I said, go. Go move in with another family. 11-year-old should not be staying up till just about midnight. It's not happening. And that's where we are. We're now in a standoff where he's angry at me. I'm angry at him. But it's one of the few times I can wield my powers as a parent. And I'm going to. And that is what is going on in my home at 5:05 this morning. By the way, for your purposes, I'm completely ill-prepared for this show. I don't know anything going on in sports from Saturday at about midnight through this morning. So if it's a big deal from yesterday, you're probably going to have to carry the show.
Yeah, we'll walk you through it. So yeah. So you're punishing Alex for being you is what's happening now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
That's exactly right.
Now you're going to swing it?
That's exactly right.
Now you've decided to swing it. This year, you had your LeBron James Super Bowl commercial where it was you were looking at a younger version of you, and you're like, oh, this is not headed the way I think it should be headed. So now the poor kid who is a way bigger Carolina fan than you are a Duke fan.
Correct.
Has the biggest win he's ever had as a North Carolina fan going to the national championship game, and you're going to deprive him of that?
That's right.
It's bad parenting. It's bad parenting.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's fair. Sherry's like, you do realize how hypocritical you are, right? And then he says to me, because now he's in my psyche, and he's trying to play mind games with me, right? He's like Michael Douglas in Basic Instinct. He's all in my head now. He says, if this was a Giant, would you let me stay up for it? And I said, let me ask you this. I said, are you a bigger Giants fan or are you a bigger Carolina fan? And Sherry's right there, and he goes, well, it depends on the time of season. And she goes, wrong answer, Alex. Wrong answer. Terrible job. And he goes, Dad, it depends on the time of the season. You know, the Giants have been bad for so long. So thanks to Dave Gettleman, because Gettleman has stood in the way of the Giants having a chance at getting the youth of Giants Nation into watching. So now this kid is allowed to explore other things, and now he loves Carolina like this.
You have a real problem on your hands.
A real problem on my hands.
I'll tell you right now, I don't think you not letting him watch the national championship game tonight is going to make this better.
I think you're probably right.
I think you got to sit down and have a talk. I think you got to – listen, here's what's going to happen. You have to get his priorities in order, obviously, if this thing is going to work right. You got to say
– it's out of control anyway. He's out of control. Like if you had the guys with the white coats come in and strap him to a table and brought him somewhere for weeks and worked on him and put like, you know, electrodes on his head and everything, I still don't think he's fixable. Like, this kid is a maniac.
I mean, you are the biggest hypocrite I know. It's amazing to me right now. I mean, you're famous. The reason why people love you is because you're a 49-year-old Alex is what you are.
Yes.
Leaving the house for 2 days in a regular season loss. It's you, is what it is, and it scares the hell out of you right now. You have to let him watch the game though. You can't deprive him.
I can't. So then he goes, didn't you ever have? I mean, and how about this? I mean, it's such a perfect analogy. It's exactly what I had. He goes, didn't you ever have when you weren't allowed to watch a big game because it was too late? I'm like, oh yeah. He goes, well, you can remedy that. So I think back, when did that happen? Oh, 1984, Georgetown-Houston National Championship game in Seattle. Ewing, the whole Georgetown squad, Wingate, right? All those guys against Hakeem Olajuwon. All right? Championship game started 9:30. What time was I allowed to stay up to? I watched all the Ewing goaltends, and then at like 9:45, and I remember it like the day is long, Rick. My mom got a phone call because she was the one. My dad would let me stay up. He didn't care. So my mom gets a phone call. It's like, this is awesome. I hope whoever this is talks forever. And she could talk, right? So I systematically, like, I'm picking up the phone to see if they're still on the phone. They're still on the phone. And it's like 1817, 1918. They're still on the phone. And then I pick it up. There's a dial tone. I'm like, and like 30 seconds later, I hear, Dave, bedtime. I'm 11. I mean, it's apples to apples. I'm 11. She says, you got to go to bed. You got to get into bed. What happens in that game forever changes my life. 63-62. Right, the sleepy. I can't even think of who it was. Oh my God, Fred Brown passes over to James Worthy. Georgetown loses by 1 point, and I never see that game live ever, and it haunts me to this day. You know what? I can do that now.
I play the victim because I am the victim.
I can now be that parent. 85 Georgetown Nova, 12 years old, championship game. Am I allowed to watch it? Nope. Well, you know what? And he starts saying to me, don't you want to be a better parent than that? Don't you want to do better for your children than they did for you? Well, sorry. This is where we are.
And you decided no. I mean, if we really start to psychoanalyze you, this is almost you retroactively punishing your mother for what she did to you.
Yeah, maybe.
And then you'll blame, because you are the victim, you'll blame your mom. See, listen, it's not my fault, Alex. This is not my fault.
Yeah,
my mom did it to me, so now I'm going to do it to you.
You know what? Maybe I should have my mom talk to him, and because the importance of sleep. That's what she can run him through like a TED talk on how important sleep is for a young child. And he goes, "I'm doing easy." I mean, this kid is bargaining like he's Mr. Wonderful. You should hear him. He's like, "Well, I'm doing well in school, and all my friends are allowed to stay up." And mom, do I get right out of bed every single morning? I said, "Yeah, you get out of bed because you go to bed at like 9:30 or 9:45, not 11:30 or midnight." I said, "You're a little boy. You got to get your sleep. That's not fair." He said, "What you're doing to me is not fair, and it's borderline cruel." And that's where we are.
I think I agree with him.
Of course you do.
Well, no, I mean, all you're doing is continuing this vicious cycle now.
Hickey,
your mom
did it
to you when you were 11. You're almost 50, and you can still remember like it's yesterday, to the point where you're on the phone, listening into their phone call to make sure she's still on the phone. So is this what you want? Is this, I mean, when Alex, because, I mean, he's going to become you at some point, does this to his kid, and he tells a story, when he was 11 and North Carolina had just beat Duke, is now playing in the national championship game against Kansas, that you, Grandpa, at this point, would not let him stay up because
That's
you were
right.
upset that Carolina beat Duke.
That's right.
Ipso facto, you're a bad dad.
Yeah, maybe. I think because I'm, you know, you guys all the time, you joke around, or maybe you're serious. I don't know, like, you're a bad dad, you're a bad dad. And I just know, I don't think that's true. Typically, like, you say stuff, I'm like, no, that's not true. This could be the one where you're right, but you know what? I don't have a lot of control.
Yeah, but why is this the hill that you're choosing to die on, though?
Well, you know what?
This is not that hill.
I'm still upset with that game, and I hate Carolina.
Yeah, but don't let the fact that Carolina beat Duke now affect your relationship with Alex.
Well, you know what? Sports is a very important part of our lives.
All right, let me ask you this question. If Alex and you were rooting for the same team, say for some reason that you were also a Carolina fan, and Carolina
which is a terrible thing to say, ahead.
Just whatever it is. So say Duke wins, but Alex is a huge Duke fan like you are. Would you let Alex stay up tonight to watch the Duke game?
Maybe.
No, not maybe. Absolutely.
Maybe.
Look at the smile on your face.
Maybe.
You absolutely would.
People on Twitter do not agree with me whatsoever. What a hypocrite,
I mean,
you are.
You're being spiteful right now.
If this was Georgetown, Rangers, Mets, Giants, and he was rooting with you, the kid would be right next to you straight until midnight. Let him watch the game.
You have to let him watch the game. This is another one of those ones where you tell him, hey, listen, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to let you watch this game. I don't want to because you're an animal and you're a maniac, and we got to talk about that.
Maniac. The kid, he's out of control.
You're out of control. This has got to, we got to curb this behavior a little bit. I'm going to need you to do X, Y, and Z, especially with the dogs. And if, God forbid, Tuesday morning rolls around and you're not out of bed, chipper, ready to rock and roll, never again.
Never. Yeah, but what does it matter at that point? At that point, he's not going to care because bedtime's going to run out in a couple of years. He's in sixth grade. By the time he gets to high school, there's not going to be a bedtime. How about this yesterday? So I said to him, I turned into like a fraternity at my home. I said, well, what would you do to be able to watch the game? You name it, Dad. You name it, and I will do it. I said, would you run a marathon on the treadmill right now?
What are you making a pledge to watch the national championship game?
I said, would you run 26.2 miles on the treadmill? And he goes, yes. He puts on shorts. He's about, and Sherry goes, no, no, he's 11. You can't let him get on the treadmill for 26 miles. It's like, what's the matter with you?
What is wrong? That's a great question. What is wrong with you?
She goes, I'm trying to keep my distance with this whole stupid thing, but I got to get involved. You cannot let the kid watch or run 26 miles on the treadmill. He's going to pass out. So this is where we are.
Yeah, hey, run 26 miles and then stay up till midnight after you run the 26.
And then I said, well, so you should see him. He goes, he fills 5 huge jugs of water. He's got them in his arms. He walks up to the treadmill room. He's about to get on the treadmill. And Sherry's like, no, no, I have to be a parent here. I have to parent you. I have to parent him. You're not allowed to do this. And I said, well, if you could drink all 5 of those bottles in 5 minutes, maybe then you can watch. She goes, no. She's like, this is not a fraternity. She's like, he's not drinking. He's going to have water poisoning.
Oh, my God.
She's like, no. Worst. No. So that's it. He's not watching. Not on my watch.
Oh, no, he's watching. You better change your mind. I'm telling you right now, you better.
Well, it's not happening.
Because you're not doing this because you're a good parent. You're doing this because you're upset that Duke lost is what's happening.
Well, you know what? That's my right. I'm the parent. Maybe I am, and maybe you I am.
Don't punish Alex. Don't punish Alex because, you know, Caleb Love had a great game, and Mark Williams can't make free throws.
How do you miss 2 free throws?
2 free throws.
Oh, God.
Keels missed one, too.
Terrible. All right, so 800-919-3776. So here we are. National championship game tonight. Obviously, mini chaos, if not more than mini chaos, in my home. Wild things are happening. The Mets don't have a healthy pitcher. The Yankees are doing interviews with Carlos Beltran, and he's saying, well, we'll get to all of it. We will get to all of it, right? The Jets, are they going to go after a big-time receiver? And, of course, that's it. Coach K, it is now officially done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
That was some game, right? Like, that was one of the great games of all time with the magnitude of it. Final Four, end of Coach K, and the game was sensational, right?
No, the game lived up to the hype. It felt like the national championship game. With all the pomp and circumstance, I mean, the people that were there, I mean, you see Jay Will running around with his, you know, Duke jacket on and everything else. And, I mean, that stretch at the end where it was back and forth. I mean, you mentioned
three after three.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Love comes down, makes that three. And I didn't even know the backstory with Caleb Love, by the way. Have you heard
a huge Duke fan?
Well, yeah, and I guess he was under the impression that he was probably going to end up at Duke, but then Coach K brought in Jeremy Roach.
Right. They didn't want him.
Yeah, they didn't want him. So that became it was personal for him. And I mean, what Caleb Love's done this tournament. I mean,
he's been the best player. Him and Bacot have been the best players in the tournament. And RJ Davis, see, it's funny. RJ Davis was incredible early on, kept them in the game. Bacot was on the glass, just phenomenal the entire game. And then Caleb Love and Manek took over in the second half and just went 3-3-3. For me, the two biggest, I can't say moments because they weren't exactly moments, but stretches of the game. Duke up 7. Love hits a 3 off a second chance to cut it to 4. Hits another one to cut it to 1. Manek hits a 3. All of a sudden, Carolina goes up 2. And then I think the biggest play of the game, and tell me if you agree with this or not, was the play where Banchero tries to keep it in bounds, does in fact keep it in bounds.
Three-point play.
The cardinal rule, never throw it right under your own basket. Right under his own basket, Bacot catches it, lays it in, and picks up the fourth foul on Mark Williams. That, to me, was the play that it completely changed this game.
Yeah, that was a huge play. And I felt bad for him, too, because it was an effort play. I was more surprised that they didn't go to Banchero more down in the low post.
And let him just abuse Brady Manek?
Well, yeah. I mean, Bacot eventually followed out, but I mean, you could easily... He's just too big and too strong for Manek. Like, at least get him in... I mean, get him to foul out. Get him in foul trouble. Like, physically, there was no... I mean, Banchero is a big, thick dude, man.
Yeah. And he's quick. And Manek, not overly athletic. Manek, great shooter. Not a good offensive player. Not a great defensive player. I thought they should have gone to him more. Rather than facing the basket and driving, which he did well anyhow, you put him in the low block and clear out and let him go. I mean, even if they double, you get a wide open three on the other side.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. Like, it felt like every time, especially in that second half, that Banchero ended up with the ball, I mean, he was facing the basket and was up by the three-point line. Which is fine because he's good enough, but still.
And he did well. He did very well. I thought they could have gotten a little more out of him. You know who was bad in this game?
Roach.
Roach and Griffin.
Yeah.
Griffin was, that was a real struggle for him in this game. Because he's usually a very good three-point shooter, and he was dreadful from beyond the arc.
Well, yeah, Griffin didn't make a three.
No.
No, and then, I mean, Bacot was a beast on the ball. I mean, 21 rebounds, which is crazy good. You know, he goes to the locker room, comes back. I'll be interested to see what he looks like tonight. But, I mean, when Caleb Love does what he does, I mean, he went for 28. And then, I mean, Roach didn't have a good game. And you need everyone in these big moments, especially a game like that. I'll tell you what. If I'm Coach K, I can't retire like this. I can't.
But you can't.
I can't do it. I don't care. Tom Brady did it. I can't do it.
No, you can't. You can't come back.
I'm coming back.
How?
I'm just coming back.
It wasn't under the auspices of if I have a really awful loss to North Carolina, I'm coming back.
Things change. I can't have my first loss ever be against North Carolina. My last loss at Cameron in Dorby, North Carolina, and then my final loss, period, be in the Final Four against Carolina. I can't do it.
National championships.
I can't do it.
See, I had this conversation with Ben yesterday. He's like, he's got to come back. And then what happens if he has an awful loss next year?
I don't
care. Then he comes back another year?
No. As long as it's not to North Carolina, I can't have it. You get that group of players, you get Banchero and say, listen, we're all coming back.
Banchero's not going to come back.
The NBA can wait. If I'm coming back, you're coming back.
No. No, you're prisoner.
Let's run it back.
Those guys aren't coming back. Wendell Moore's not coming back. Mark Williams not coming back.
Coach K asked me to come back. I'm coming back, baby.
No.
Let's run it back. I can't lose like that. You can't go out like that.
That's it. It's over. The guy won five championships.
He wants
to be done. If that was the case, then you should have said nothing all year, anticipated that this was going to be it, and then said goodbye after this was over, or never come out without it at all and continue to coach. Change your mind now, or nobody even
knows about it. Who would have thought it would have ended like this?
How often does it end well? How often does it end?
Yeah, but this is the first time they've ever played in the tournament. It ends up being the Final Four. And it's his last game ever. No, I can't go out like this. I can't.
Oh, if he comes back, it would be such a fraud.
I would blame Tom Brady if I was him. Listen, Tom did it. If he can do it, if the GOAT can do it, I can do it. Let's run it back.
But it's not a good look either.
I don't care what kind of look it is. It's a worse look having lost. I mean, having lost to Carolina twice like that.
No, it's an awful look. It is. If you say I'm done and then you come back, I mean, you can take nobody at their word anymore. It's over. It's done. He had an amazing career. He won 1,200 games. He won five national championships. It's done.
I'm coming back if I'm Coach K. I can't go like that.
They had the number one recruiting class in the country. The successor is all planned out. John Shire ready to go.
He can wait.
No, it's time. It's time.
Let Ian O'Connor can write another book. He'll make some extra money. Everyone's happy.
It's time. We'll hear from Coach K in a moment. Now, this is a good tweet. D. Argyle says, I know it's not huge for you guys, but can you congratulate South Carolina and Dawn Staley on their title? Yes. Yes, we can.
Speaking of rebounding.
Yeah. Did you watch that game?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did.
And by the way, I am going to push sexual innuendo as far as I can possibly push it after watching the Bird Taurasi telecast.
But be better than them.
Well, I think my innuendos are better than theirs, but I mean, that's just right in your face. Mine aren't right in your face like that. That's just right out there for everyone to see.
Yeah.
And they get to drink while they're doing it.
And they use them, and then they giggle over them.
Yeah, at least you're my straight guy. You just move right along. Push right through it.
That's right. They start giggling, and they draw attention to it.
Yeah, neither coach, Don Staley and, I mean, Geno, that was his first loss, too. I mean, they neither had lost.
In the championship game,
in the championship game. Now, I mean, 1-0 and 11-0 are kind of different, but still.
Yep. But I tell you,
Don Staley has changed how that program looks at themselves.
Oh, they think they are the best team in the country. And you know what? They're right. It's the second time they beat UConn this year. But I will say this, because I watched a bunch of the games down the stretch of the season. This was not one of these great all-time UConn teams.
No, no, no.
By any stretch.
No, but I mean, that's just that they just, you look up, and regardless if you think it's, you know, one of their, you know, great teams or not, and they're in the Final Four.
In the finals.
But which speaks to how, you know, how great a coach Gino Auriemma is, how well he recruits and everything else.
I forget what the exact number is, but I think, and this is incredible, I think he's been to, is it 14 or 16? 14 consecutive Final Fours.
Yeah.
That right there. I mean, we talk about records that'll never be broken. That could never be broken.
But he's not done yet.
Straight Final Fours?
And he's not done yet. I mean, that Paige Becker's injury kind of screwed things up for them a little bit because she's awesome.
Because you can tell she's compromised.
Yeah, she's not 100%. But that South Carolina team is so big and physical, man.
Yeah, and they were just better, and that's okay. That's okay. All right, so here we are. 1-800-919-3776. Coach K coming back.
We'll hear back.
From Coach K. I have no tweets we can hear from today, but we do have a lot to do. We'd like to hear from you guys, 1-800-919-3776. If it's the right move or not by making my kid go to bed at 9:45-ish today, somewhere in that range. Just give him a little taste.
He should have Tuesday off is what he should have.
And then, and then he's more angry at me. He goes, do you know, Dad, down in Chapel Hill, what happens if they win tonight? I said, what happens? They cancel school. I said, well, you know what? You live in Westchester. They don't cancel school.
You realize what you would have, though, if you decided to let him watch this game and then take Tuesday off, right? Or, I mean, even just going to school late, what you would have.
I would be heroic.
Yeah, hero. For all
heroic.
Time. Yeah, Alex would tell the story to his kids.
Yeah. And then my dad, who I still consider to be the greatest man to ever walk the planet, let me stay up and go late to school on the Tuesday. Yep.
At your funeral, he will speak of this at your funeral if this happens.
That's right. That's right. Where if it doesn't happen, he will hope the funeral is sooner rather than later, I think.
Yeah, I can't only imagine what he's saying in his room if you don't let him watch this game.
Yeah, by the way, he's taking shots at Jay Williams.
I would love to get him and Jay Williams on the phone together.
You should have heard him last night. He goes, by the way, in the morning, when you talk to your friend, tell him, suck it. is what he says. Yeah. He's 11, by the way. Yes.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I got Billy Lewis, who might as well be Billy the Devil Lewis, saying, I hope Rothenberg ESPN not letting Alex watch the championship game pushes Alex to start rooting for the Cowboys.
Oh, that would be, I mean, that's, if I'm Alex, that's what I would use that. That would be my threat.
I would let him live here.
Oh, you'd have to let him live there. Sherry's not going to let you kick Alex out.
Well, I would make his life a living hell if he said, I'm a Cowboys fan.
This is what you're doing, though. I mean, you're pushing him away as opposed to bringing him closer.
Nestling with him?
I mean, Dave Gettleman's already turned him off where he's not even that into the Giants right now.
Well, I mean, it's hard to be. It's also not football season. He wants to
Justin,
love the Giants.
He wants a Justin Herbert jersey, I bet.
Well, that's not happening. You want to hear from Coach K?
I do. I wish he comes back. I hope he comes back.
He's not going to, right?
It can't go all like that, can you?
You going to come back for another year, and what happens if that happens again?
What are the chances they lose to Carolina in the tournament again?
Well, very, very small, but what happens if you have an awful loss in the tournament again? Now, you know, well, you don't want to lose like that. They had their chance. I think they were better than Carolina. I think they were a better team. They're a more talented team. You went toe-to-toe with them. Carolina hits the winning shot with a minute left. You had your chances. You couldn't get it done. It's time to go.
I can't believe that, though. Like, what are the chances of this? where his first loss is to North Carolina, his last loss at home at Cameron is to North Carolina, and then his final loss, period, is in the Final Four to Carolina.
So tell me if you agree with this. I said it the next day. I think it was March 5th, that game. March 6th, I said, I felt like the moment was too big for Duke, and I stand by that. I thought it was.
Yeah, you're right.
I didn't feel like that at all on Saturday.
No. No, absolutely not. No, they went toe-to-toe, mm-hmm. and I mean, in the big moments late in that game, you had Duke not, and Duke didn't shoot well from the free throw line, period, but I mean, those, there were the two, and then Keels missed one. Caleb Love, I mean, has had a great tournament. I mean, he's had his three highest scoring games in the tournament.
It's amazing. So you think that Kansas wins this game tonight, though?
I do. I have to imagine there's going to be an emotional letdown now.
I hope so. I will be. I'm upset today. Tomorrow I'll be despondent. Maybe all we'll right, get so Debbie Duane to step in. Maybe it'll be you and Debbie. You could do like a traffic/sports program.
That would be nice. That's it a would nice be, little right? mix. Yeah, but so maybe you do that, though. I mean, that's really, if you think Kansas is going to win and you want to punish Alex, let him watch the game and let him watch Kansas beat Carolina.
And then if Carolina wins, now I got the kids celebrating in my face.
Well, you'll be in bed already. You're just watching in a different room. I wouldn't suggest watching it with them, especially if Carolina wins, because you'll never hear the end of it.
Never. No, the kid's a savage.
He'll be moonwalking through through the living room.
Although he told me after the game, you know, Dad, I felt guilty watching you be so upset and me celebrating. I was like, you should feel guilty.
Yeah, but don't make him feel bad. It's not like it was Georgetown.
That's what you do as a parent when they have moments like that. You make them feel guilty.
No, you're being a jerk because it's not even your favorite team. Georgetown's your favorite team.
Yeah, but I like Duke a lot, coupled with I can't stand Carolina.
Yeah, but like, the kid loves North Carolina like you love Georgetown.
Can we hear from Coach K, please?
Yeah, I would love to hear from Coach K. You just keep talking and talking.
Not me. You just keep with these scenarios. I mean, for God's sake.
I texted RJ 30 minutes ago. Can we get to some sound, please?
No, there's no way that happened. Here is Coach K saying the game lived up to the hype.
Well, I think it reached the level of that you would expect. Those kids from both teams played their hearts out. Crowd was standing most of the game, I think. It was a heck of a game. So it met up to that. And a little bit is disjointed, which games like that can be, but I think it met up to that level.
Can I ask you a question? Couple questions. I have two important questions for you.
What are your questions?
Okay, why would Coach K take his last time out in that spot? Late in the game, I believe they took a one-point lead, and he decides to call his last timeout.
He wanted to set his defense. Because if you noticed, and I don't think you're wrong, but I'm just giving you his rationale.
Well, no, that's what I thought. But
defensively,
again,
they're not good. They can fight through no switches at all. So I think he wanted to get Mark Williams. I don't know what, but it has to be he wanted to set up his defense because he had faith in his offense.
Okay, that was the first question. Second question. Icing your own free throw shooter, calling a timeout, and then poor Caleb Love having to wait how long until he took his second free throw. Were you thinking that at all?
It's no.
Like, they call timeout, and then it's like, okay, like at some point, you know, he wants to, I mean, you just ice your own free throw shooter.
Well, you're talking about Hubert Davis.
Yes.
Well, I mean, look, Caleb Love was phenomenal, and Caleb Love's like an 80% foul shooter plus. I think he was like, he's going to make it, and then we can set up the defense that we want.
Well, no, I know, but you're up. I mean, he makes the first one, so you're up three.
Yes.
Now, I mean, you'd rather be up four, right?
Well, obviously.
Okay, so, I mean, do you want to take
but
a chance?
Maybe he wanted to tell them, in case he misses the foul shot, here's what I want to have happen. I want to foul them with, you know, 3 seconds left, and I don't want them to have a chance at
no, I know.
Three.
But, I mean, if that's situationally, like, I just don't know. It worked out. I'm just saying. Those two plays late in the game, I was like, I knew why they were doing it. Like, I understood why they were doing it. It just, I get you want to get your defense in order, but you just took a one-point lead. And you got to imagine, I mean, the way Caleb Love is playing, like, you're going to need to score. I'd like to have that timeout to set up a play if I have to.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I'm trying to give you the rationale of the coaches, and I think that's probably what they were thinking with taking those timeouts.
Well, I mean, it was well said by you.
Oh, thank you. I've been working on it all weekend. More from Coach K. He reflects on the final team ever for him. Ever. You hear that, Rick? At Duke.
We made our announcement. It would be our last year. I told my wife, Mickey, I said, look, we're going for it. I'm going to put everything into it. And I got a group. They're young, but I think they got a chance. And I was right about that. So every day, we had some few bumps in the road here. But, you know, they won 32 games, man. And they turned it around in March. They've been beautiful, beautiful young men to coach. So I could not ask for more.
I give him a lot of credit.
And they barely got in the tournament.
If that's me, I'm at the podium and I'm throwing expletives out there. I'm going after people. I wouldn't be able to handle it like he did.
Well, that just speaks to him being done, though. Like, I mean, it's just there's a certain point where you're just emotionally spent. Like, you got nothing left.
He's done.
Like, I'm sure when he was, you know, when he gets home and he sits down and he starts kind of understanding. Know what just happened, that it's over, that he'll probably break down at some point, but at that, he was done. The hardest thing, I guarantee the hardest thing for him was walking in that locker room and seeing all his guys.
Well, I think that's always the hardest thing, right?
Oh.
That's it, whether this is your last game or not, the hardest thing is knowing that it's over. Knowing that, because you have this all the time, it'll never be the same again. Now, for him, it's actually over, but even when you have the end of the season and you have the thought of these 53 guys, these 13 guys, whatever it is, will never, ever be together again. Like that's some real life moment, right?
Well, especially at this level though, right? I mean, it's what you realize when you go from college to the next level, you just think like it's going to be the same kind of atmosphere, same kind of, now different obviously because it's college, but like the locker room will be the same. It's similar. Like you'll have those relationships, those really good relationships. And what you realize fast is it's not even close. Like the closest teams you'll play on are in college. And then for NHL guys, your AHL locker rooms are just like college locker rooms because you spend so much time with each other. Guys aren't married for the most part, so you're always hanging with each other. So the relationships, the friendships you build in college are really strong.
Forever relationships, yeah. Right? And all these guys that go to the NBA, like all the main players, right? Mark Williams and Banchero. I mean, Banchero's going to be a top probably three pick. Roach, Moore, all of them. So, you know, I think you said this the other day, but I don't think a lot of people know that Daniel Jones's brother's on this team.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there at the, I'm sure he was there. I'm sure he was there on Saturday too, but I remember seeing him at the last game at Cameron Indoor.
Yep. All right, let's get to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Paul in Erie, Pennsylvania. Paul, you're first up. Good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. Guys, this is exciting. I listen to you guys every morning. I have a cleaning company here with my wife, and you guys really put us through the morning, and you guys are the best. I mean, really.
Well, thank you. Now, you like a commercial cleaning or a home cleaning service?
Yeah, commercial.
Commercial.
We did home, but that's a terrible job. I mean, it's not a good.
Now, do you actually get
home,
down in the weeds and you do some of the nooks and crannies in the corner, or you have people that do the cleaning? You just kind of sit there in your golden chair.
We do everything, but we have people that work with us too. But we're at every job, though. That's got to be there.
Nice. But I like to hear it.
Now, I grew up in Ann Arbor, Dave, and I was 11 years old in '89. And my dad refused to let me watch the game. He sent me to bed. I was so upset that day. He's like, you can watch the first half. I said, I was really, I swear to him, for the first time I went to Catholic school, it was bad. He's like, you're grounded for a month.
Wait, you cursed at your dad?
Yeah, I said the S word.
Wow.
I said it was BS.
So let's look back now. You're 11, so you're born in 78.
Yeah.
It's Michigan, yep. Seton Hall. Michigan has gone on, yep, this magical run. Right? Glenn, yep, Rice had the most, yep, points ever in the tournament, and your dad tells
first
you...
First coach ever to make it to the finals in his first year, too,
yes,
by the way.
Just right.
And
didn't he take
like
over, did Steve Fisher take over during the season?
Yep, Bo Schembechler fired Frieder because he was going to Arizona State.
Exactly. All right, so walk us through now.
So I'm in my bedroom,
yeah,
and my dad's loud, okay? This guy's like you. He's screaming every call, so I'm screaming it from my room. He says, keep it down in there. You're supposed to be in bed. I'm like, Mickey, anyways, the hypocritic of this guy is too much. So 2 minutes left in the game, he says, he comes in, you've been up all night anyways, come and watch the end of the game. So I went and watched the end. I watched Emile Robinson hit the foul shots. And my dad to this day said, and he ungrounded me too after we won the game. But then he said, never swear at me again, and I'll always let you stay up for a championship game the rest of your life. And ironically, the Fab Five always blew it against Carolina and Duke, terrible games. Sorry, Dave, but I hate both those teams. But you got to let Alex watch it. Come on, Dave. Be a human being, for God's sake. We're not communist Russia. Have a good one, guys. Love you.
All right, thank you. That's a good call.
He makes excellent points.
It's a good call. But his dad tried to not let him watch, and this savage was, and not overly intelligent, too. He's in his own room, and he's screaming and yelling.
Well, he also swore. I mean, he swore at his dad.
He's cursing at the dad.
Not, I mean, you have a conversation, you figure it out.
Good call, though.
Well, maybe you say no just to test him, right? See how he's going to react.
Well, maybe.
If he has a meltdown, then you can't let him, and you say, no, you can't watch.
Well, if they lose, he's gonna weep. If they lose and he watches till 11:30, he's going to be up all night.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's the conversation you have to have with him. Listen, I'm going to do you a solid. I don't want to, but I'm going to do you a solid. Because I know how important this is to you. But, I mean, here's the parameters. This is what's going to happen.
But I don't think he can control himself.
Well, but you have no control over that. If he gets upset, he gets upset. If he keeps himself up all night, then that's on him.
All right, so you go to school with no sleep.
You go to school with no sleep.
Let's go to Joe in the Bronx. Joe, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? I just wanted to comment on Griffin and Vaccaro. I was talking to a friend of mine before the game. He's a big Carolina fan. I told him if Black can hold Griffin under 10 points, Carolina will win that game. And, you know, they constantly talk about these four guys that are all, you know, first-round picks in the NBA. And I think some of them are delusional. Griffin is a nice player. But a lottery pick, I don't think so. There's jumps in basketball. You go from grammar school to high school, it's a jump. High school to college, major jump. College to the NBA, where he'll go up against guys that are 6'7", every single night and be exposed, man. And, you know, what a great game the other day. But, you know, the other guy, Vaccaro, multi-talented guy. He disappeared in the last 5 minutes of that game. You know, he's supposed to be the number one overall pick. You're supposed to take over that game, man, down the stretch of the game, like Caleb Love did.
Yeah, but I don't know if they gave him the ability to do that, though.
Yeah.
But hold on. I don't think they gave him the ability to do that. See, I disagree with that. I didn't love how they used him late in that game.
I thought he had that huge tap out, right, which is an enormous play.
Yeah, see, and then, I mean, the kid's a freshman, man. I mean, we understand it. Yeah, he's probably going to step up to the next level, and it's going to be tough because you're going up against men. But that's not why he's going to get drafted in the first round.
Well, I don't understand these people because my boys will watch, and I get it because they're younger, right? So they watch Chet Holmgren. They're like, he's not that good. I'm like, they don't draft on what you are now. They draft on the potential. They look at A.J. Griffin and say, this kid's 6'8". He's got a handle. He can shoot the ball. He's big and lanky. We want to get involved with that. Not he was one of seven and didn't make a three in the semifinal game, and now you lose all whatever about this kid being a big-time NBA player.
No, but it's, I mean, it's what you just said is why the draft is such a crapshoot, though, is because you're drafting on potential and ceiling and what it's going to, how it's going to translate at the next level. Skill set.
Well, and how are we supposed to know when they're 19?
You don't. I mean, that's the thing. You don't. Yeah, you love for him. I mean, I'm sure every NBA GM would love to see these kids stay in school for at least 2 years.
Oh, I'm sure.
But that's not the case. I mean, the more time they have to mature, like, you're talking about a kid who's a freshman in college. I mean, still doesn't...
Caleb Love, look at this. Caleb Love is a sophomore. He was not the same player last year. RJ Davis, people thought he was a bust last year, and now he's terrific. Mark Williams, after 1 year... You're like, yeah, I guess he's got something. A year or two, he was great. So staying for 2, 3, 4 years, my question I've asked forever is, would you rather have Vaccaro for a year or a really good player for four?
I think if you have a – I think you've – I actually had this conversation with someone yesterday about hockey because it's had the same thing's happening with hockey now where there's – like BU, for example, like they get really top-tier recruits that end up leaving. So it's hard to get any continuity. But if you have, you know, if you have most of your team with really good players that you know are going to be there for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and then you can sprinkle in these, you know, 5-star recruits that may just play their freshman year and be done.
Yeah.
To put you over the top, that's great. But I mean, when you're trying to every year, you know, incorporate, you know, a couple new guys that are going to be gone after 1 year, that's tough.
Well, they got to do it. They're going to lose their whole team this year and have to redo it all next year with a new head coach. Hubert Davis, who is certainly not the coach getting the bulk of the attention, but has done a heck of a job with this team, says after the game, worried about beating Kansas, not about celebrating a win over their rival.
I think dwelling on the two wins against Duke doesn't help us against Kansas. So we put that in a box to think about over the summer. But right now is a day, is a time of celebration, and then focus on preparing ourselves to play for a national championship against Kansas.
You know what I've heard, which I think is, and I think you'll agree with me, kind of a loser attitude from Carolina fans. Doesn't matter what happens now. We beat Duke. We ended K. We beat them in the tournament. Yeah, it'd be gravy if we won the national championship, but we've already won.
Well, I think that's just protecting yourselves. I mean, of course they want to win the national championship, but
but how many chances do you get to be here? Not a lot.
No, listen, I don't think you're wrong, but again, I mean, as far as the importance of that game, especially, I mean, could you imagine if you're a Carolina student right now?
No, you must be, I mean, beside yourself.
Yeah, I mean, and even if you lose the national championship game, I mean, you got what you came for, which is that anytime anyone from Duke says anything about North Carolina,
you beat them in the Final Four. I get that, but still.
Well,
I mean,
if
you end this and you don't hoist the championship trophy.
Listen, I would be disappointed, but you'd understand why.
Yeah, but
like, these are still kids that played in a humongous game on Saturday and then are expected to bounce back and play another great game on Monday.
And you got to think maybe the Baycott injury is, I mean, I think it didn't look good when it happened. Does that swell up? Does it take a little bit
away
from him?
There's so much adrenaline, right, that plays into that. Like, there's no way I'm going to be done. You come back and you finish it off, and then a day later it swells up and it feels like crap.
I mean, you remember that, what was it, the Gonzaga-UCLA game, which is another all-time great game. Suggs hit that crazy buzzer beater, and they got mauled in the next game by Baylor.
Yep.
So, I don't know if you see more
of that
tonight.
They could have used Suggs. I'll tell you, the Magic could have used the Suggs last night. Whew.
They could have used night.
That was awful.
I mean, if the Knicks run you off the court, you got real problems.
Ran you right off the court.
Right. I mean, right off the court. Let's go to Juan in Bethlehem. Good morning, Juan. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I love your show. Dave, I have a trick for you that I use in my house.
Okay.
Is it
a card trick? I like card tricks.
No. It's with the kids. With the kids. So, you know, you have the opportunity to be a great hero right now to your son. But I understand the pride in you. So what I would do is I will find a way to give all the blame to your wife, and then be like, you know what? I think you should stay. Can you imagine how that kid is gonna look at you? Like, you know, like you now you're the great hero who, even though the mother said like, oh no, you cannot stay up, but now the father says, yeah, sure, why not? Can you just imagine that?
You put your wife to be the bad guy, and then you swoop in as like the Superman, and you say, no, you can stay up and watch the game.
Yes, even though I don't want them to stay, all I have is girls, so they're not great with sports, but I use it in different situations where, you know, I become the hero just by passing on the blame to my wife, and then I just say, okay, sure, why not? Come on, you can stay.
Well, thank you for the call, Juan. Thank you. It sounds healthy.
That sounds like an excellent trick. I can't wait till that backfires.
Yeah, sounds like a great way to have a successful marriage.
But Juan missed the part of the story where you already told him that it's you that doesn't want him to watch.
Well, they knows it's me. You know, he knows it's me.
You have to fix this. You have to.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
He is unrelenting, though. I mean, it is. It's like going up against Drago. Like you turn around, he's in your face.
I can't wait. I love the fact that he went with "You're the worst dad." You're the best dad.
Because he's having all those, you know, the moments of every step
of
grief or anger or whatever. He's going through all of them right now.
It was me all along.
I can't wait. I would love to know what he's saying to his buddies. He's going to go to school thinking he's not
going to stay up. I hear him. Well, he's playing in the other room last night. And they play this Xbox, but they go online, so they play together. So he's talking. He goes, can you believe he won't? Alex's dad won't let him stay up and watch the game. It's like big conversation in the sixth grade at school today.
That's who you're going to be, though. You don't want to be that guy. I mean, listen. I mean, what do they call Rosenberg at his school?
I don't know.
Who's the guy that doesn't tip, right?
The
guy that doesn't send presents.
That's right.
You don't want to be the dad that doesn't let his kids stay up for the national championship. That's not who you want to be.
Yep. No, you're right. It's a fair point.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.